My name's Robbie. I'm Crystal's husband, so I'm a staff wife. I lead one of the engaged groups. We call ourselves the Gamers Engaged Group. Let's give a shout out. So some of our out events have been in Maine Campbell. That's kind of our focus right now. Just where we're meeting, my co-leader Nick Kentucky Ellington up there has been living there for 4 years, and so he's just developed some relationships with the guys there, and we're just able to invite people to come and play games with us. So board games, Catan, Pandemic, Ticket to Ride, you know, whatever. But it's just been really exciting this the last couple times to there's a couple guys that I played with the first time, and I played with last night too. We had another event last night, and Nick and I went into their dorm room last night just to, hey, you want to come play with us? And there was three of them in there, and they were all on their laptops, all playing Minecraft. You probably don't know what that is, or watching TV and not really talking to each other. And then, you know, once we got them out, and they love playing games, and once we got them out, we were playing Catan, Seafarers, and it was just awesome to just see this just connection being made. And to me, just this, the time has come, the time is now, just this action of just building relationships with these guys and just, you know, seeing what may change in their lives. I have no idea. I mean, this is just the start. And I'm to be honest, over the last 2 years, I've really just surrounded myself by just my brothers and sisters in Christ, which, you know, is not necessarily a bad thing, but I have no way to just share the hope that God has given me with other people. And, you know, if God has let me do that by playing Catan, then, you know, praise Him. So, but, you know, we've been going through Acts in our group, pretty much like everybody else, but I just love in Acts 3, at the very, very beginning, Peter and John, you know, they're going to the temple, and there's this beggar there. He's crippled, and he's taken to the gate there every day, and, you know, he's just begging for money. He's just begging for to make some money so he can eat for food on this earth. And then Peter says to him, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. And I just feel like the thing that we have to offer people in our actions as Christians is stronger than trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. It's stronger than any amount of gold. It's stronger than anything, any statue that someone built thousands of years ago. It's stronger than the Great Pyramids. It's stronger than anything of value in this earth. It is just glory of an eternal life and an eternal story that we all get to share in. And, you know, if, you know, the time has come, like, this is the time for us to be just stepping out, and I'm just happy to be a part of that. So, and I'm happy to just see the guys in my group stepping out and stepping up in leadership and just connecting with people. And yeah, praise God. That's really what I have to say. So, thanks.
Thanks, Robbie. That sounds fun. I like board games too. Good morning, everyone. My name's Alexis. And as I get started, I just want to take a quick poll. Has anyone ever taken a math class before? You can just raise your hand if you've ever taken a math class. Lots of hands. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up if you've ever taken a math class and you feel like that has been, in your opinion, a bad math teacher. I don't think a single hand just went down. Thanks, guys. You can put your hands up. I'm sorry about that. I find math to be extremely fascinating and extremely relevant. Let me give you an example of how I think math is relevant. There's an area of math called number sense, which helps you understand relationships between numbers, numbers that are greater than or less than other numbers. So, for example, the number 64, which is the number of points Virginia Tech scored in the basketball game last night, is greater than 60, which is the number of points that Duke scored in the basketball game last night. Yes! So right there, math is relevant and interesting. I say all that because my appreciation for math fits into one of the callings that I feel like God has placed on my life, and that's a calling to be a math teacher. And I feel this calling for a couple of reasons. One reason is, you guys can probably already tell, I really love math. I know, that's so weird. Another reason is that I really love helping other people understand and appreciate math more. So I feel this really unique calling placed on my life. And even though I know this to be true, over the years it's been really hard for me to stick true to that calling because it's difficult to get to that place, to get to where I want to be. A lot gets in the way of that calling. Well, something that I'm really thankful for is that I'm involved in a small discipleship group. We call it a huddle. That's just the language that we use with Joe Rasick and some of the other people from the downtown congregation. And in this huddle, I've been given a lot of opportunities to connect with other people and also to reflect on my experiences that I've had, especially in relation to this calling. So I reflect on these experiences, and I'm able to talk through them with other people and really reflect on key moments related to this calling. And what's been so neat in my life is that I have been reaffirmed through this huddle that I'm involved in. Feeling reaffirmed in that calling has been just so refreshing in my life, and I've appreciated it so much. And so that's just something that I'm really thankful for NLCF and for this huddle that I'm involved with, is the opportunity to get to reflect on my experiences, connect with other people, and really grow even from the little things that happen to us day to day. And my hope for every single one of you is that you are able to get plugged into some kind of group like I am. Maybe it's a home group, or maybe it's an engaged group, but something where you can also get connected with others and have the chance to maybe discern or affirm the unique calling that God has on your life. Jim. Oh, yeah.
Good morning. My name is Katie Williams, and I'm on staff here at NLCF, and I'm excited because I kind of get to share about how I help blend our two congregations. I have a wonderful husband and two beautiful daughters, so the downtown congregation is a great place for our family, and yet I still get to be part of campus stuff. I'm in the cooking engage group. Any cookers here? Okay. way to represent, guys. anyway, I'm in the Cooking Engage group and get to do a lot with the campus women's ministry reach. So I'm excited to be able to share this morning. If you haven't caught, Robbie shared about kind of some campus stuff, and Alexis shared about some downtown stuff. And I'm excited to share one of my favorite ways to help blend our downtown and campus congregations, and that's through our summer missions trip to Ukraine. And the last couple summers, we have taken a combination of students and graduate and beyond folks to Ukraine. And I'm sure a lot of you have heard, as we shared about our trip last summer and as we're gearing up for this summer, you've heard a lot about what we're going to be doing in Ukraine, working with the orphanage. And so Mike kind of asked if I would maybe share even a little bit more about our history with our sister church over there called Almaz. And basically about 12 to 13 years ago, really, we started sending students to Ukraine, and we would stay there for about 8 to 10 weeks in the summer, and we helped this church over there, now called Almaz, to build up their congregation. They were kind of a new church starting out. And we were able to teach English classes and hold these English camps where we invited college students to come out and learn English. And it was a really beneficial thing for them to learn English, and we got to teach them English through the Bible. So it was really, really cool and exciting. And so for about four summers, we went over there for the whole summer and took students and got to spend the summer there and help build up their church in that way. And then we kind of took a four-year break. Dave and I had some kids in there and weren't able to really get over the ocean as easily. So we kind of took a four-year break, and it was kind of interesting in that time. You know, we kind of talk about stuff like sister churches and things like that. You may have heard that phrase. And Almaz is kind of like a sister church to us. And in some ways, we kind of like adopt them with going over there and helping them out. And so at that time where we were even transitioning here at NLCF into having more people that have graduated and stuck around, and which is why we kind of why we developed the downtown congregation to kind of meet some of those needs of people who have graduated. Well, Almaz was actually going through some of similar transitions in that time as well, as we had helped them build a very young church full of college students, and those college students were getting older. So it's kind of neat now when we go back just to kind of see how our two churches have even kind of walked through these last 13 years along similar paths, even though we're on complete opposite continents and whatnot. So that's a little history, and now these last three summers, as maybe you've heard, we go over there and we work in the orphanage with Almaz. Almaz has kind of adopted a whole orphanage, and we go over there and help them with that. And it's just a really exciting time to be a part of what they're doing. And I'll just read James 1:27. It says, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows and their distress, and refusing to let the world corrupt you." And I think, you know, throughout Scripture, we can just see God's heart for orphans. We can see God's heart for people who have less than we do. And so it's just really exciting as a church that we get to be part of God's greater kingdom and making that come about. So I guess, and I'm excited to just at the end of March, the two pastors of Almaz Church are actually going to be here in Blacksburg. So you guys will get to hear straight from their mouths, and it'll be really exciting. So I hope you guys will be able to come out for that Sunday. And I think I'm handing it off to Colin.
Hey, guys. I'm Colin. I'm actually a freshman here at Tech. A lot of the talk has been about church stuff and engage groups and different things. I'm actually going to tell you a story about something that actually happened in English class. Not quite math class, but I am a math person, so I understand. It's a couple weeks ago, I was in the back of English class because, well, I don't enjoy English quite as much. But I'm sitting back there, and the guy next to me sort of looks at the guy that was sitting in front of us and saying that, "Hey, you don't look so good." And he's like, "Yeah, my grandmother's just been diagnosed with cancer." And so he was really upset because his grandmother actually raised him. And so he was sort of like just, he obviously looked sad and close to tears and all that stuff. And so I'm sitting in the back, like, I'm an introvert. I don't really like putting myself out there. And God's like, "You know, you should pray for him." I'm like, that's not very comfortable. and so I'm sort of sitting there just like thinking, like, okay. I'm like, so I basically asked the guy, "Hey, man, are you a Christian?" He's like, "No, I'm agnostic." I'm like, "Well, do you mind if I pray for you?" And he's like, "Dude, that'd be great." And so I'm sitting in the back of Ian's class. My teacher's like back there, like up in the front talking to everybody. I'm in the corner of like Ian's class having like a little prayer session. It was really cool. But basically the point of this is just I don't know what's happening with him, with his grandmother. I haven't seen him in class the past couple of days. I mean, it's just God's calling you to do something. Just like go ahead and do it. And he's gonna take care of you. He's not gonna call you to do something that you can't handle. I mean, yeah, I hate going up and speaking in front of a bunch of people, but God's got a plan. He's gonna take care of you. And so if he puts something in your heart, really just act on it and just have the faith and trust in God that he's gonna move through it. And I don't know what's gonna happen in this guy's heart, but I'm sure that God's got a plan that that something good's gonna turn out of it. And so that's my little story to share. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm distracted making sure my son gets back to where he needs to go. All right, good job, Benjamin. Good job. All right. My cell phone's up here. Well, welcome again. I know a ton of people have welcomed you. You've heard from a lot of different people this morning, and that's a lot of what we were planning for today, just to be able to hear from lots of different people their stories, things that are going on. And it's exciting whenever these two congregations get together. Alexa shared, that we had some good news for our missional space that the campus congregation lives in yesterday, you know, with the beating of the defending national champion, Duke Blue Devils, which was awesome. All the while, the track and field won their first indoor ACC championship, which was awesome. And sliding under the radar of that, just barely, I may get some of the facts wrong, but our downtown folks have some things to cheer about. the place that used to host our downtown congregation, the school that used to host there, well, Noah Pace goes to that school, and his middle school basketball team just won the state championships. Woo! So all of our missional spaces, if you will, have things to be rejoicing about. Sorry, the staff just went to a conference where they used all those hip catch phrases like missional spaces over and over and over again. So I figured I'd just use that a bunch of times this morning to start us out. But it's exciting when our two congregations come together, right? When the student congregation and the downtown congregation, each Sunday we're meeting and we're worshiping, and this Sunday we come together. We come together as a family. We, NLCF, coming together, being a part together as a family, kind of coming home all together. Now, just a couple of caveats. We don't necessarily, as NLCF, necessarily endorse talking or praying while the teacher is talking, right? Or while your boss is talking, right? Or while your coach is talking. But what we do very much endorse, fully endorse, is gutsy, bold faith that ministers to people when they're hurting. That was awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Colin. That was really cool. And especially, we endorse that when it's in those spaces that God has sent us to. Those places that God has sent us out to, right? Because God is a sending God that has already sent each of us somewhere, right? We just need to identify those places He sent us to and then live in that reality. We need to live as sent people in those places. If you have a Bible with you and you want to turn to Acts chapter 8, you can do that. I just want to set the scene a little bit. Things had been going great for the Christians, right? You know, Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. He said some great words to the disciples at one point, to a gathering of people. He was around people. He was seen by people. And then he goes up to be with the Father and he says, "Hey, I'm going to send this Holy Spirit down to you." And they're like, "Okay, we don't really know exactly what that means, but, you know, we're going to be here and wait." And then all of a sudden, all these great things start happening, right? And people are getting saved left and right, and life is going so well. And then at some point, little cracks seem to come in the foundation of that. And Stephen is taken before the leaders of the community. And he has to give a response to what he's been doing. And he gives this Spirit-filled, awesome response that every single person there decides to become a believer, right? No, of course not. They decide they're all going to pick up stones, they're all going to pick up rocks, and they're just going to keep throwing them at him until he dies. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. "And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." Imagine if you were there, right? Imagine if you were a person who on that day at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, were speaking, and all of a sudden you realize, I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, I would guess you probably knew what you were saying, but you were opening your mouth, and all of a sudden this language is coming out that you have no idea what it is. And you're like, I don't know how I'm doing this, but, you know, something really cool is going on. All of a sudden people from other countries are coming up to you and going, "Hey, we're listening to you. Even though you're this random person from Galilee, we understand what you're saying." And you're thinking, "I don't know how you understand what I'm saying, but this is really cool." And people are getting saved left and right, and Peter is preaching, and thousands of people are coming to him, and all this great and wonderful things are going on, and then this happens. Like, God, what's going on? Picture yourself as that person who had done those things when you hear this, "And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. What would be your reaction? I know what mine would be. Pretty sure. I know myself well enough to be like, I'd be like, God, what in the world is going on? What are you doing? Here I am, you know, this, you're trying to bring people to you, and I'm getting all this stuff happening to me, right? I'm getting this persecution. I'm having to run away. I'm having to run away to Samaria, this hated town where I'm not supposed to be. At least I thought. I'm feeling this weight, and I'm wondering where God is. But listen to their reaction at the time. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Persecution didn't destroy them. It didn't discourage them from living out their faith. It simply sent them. It sent them out. And it sent Philip to the place he was already supposed to be going anyway, right? When we read in Acts, one of the last things said there, or in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria. Right? When the persecution happened, that's where he wound up. And I don't know whether it was like, you know, hey, this is like the only road because we're about to get stoned and I've got to get here and, oh man, I got to go to Samaria, but, you know, well, I got to get out of here. Or whether it was purposeful where he said, hey, we got to flee. Jesus said to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Well, let's get it started. Let's go to Samaria. I'm not sure if that's really what he thought. I'm not sure what was going on in his thought process. But what's remarkable to me is Philip doesn't say, oh, woe is me, you know. Oh, well, that was a good ride, you know. That was a good 50 days, and now it's time to get out of here and go do something else. He doesn't go home. He doesn't give up. He doesn't say, I won't minister to those people that we're not supposed to like over there in Samaria. No, he simply goes where he's sent, and he lives Jesus' mission there. He loves the people. He serves them. He brings them to an understanding of a life with Christ. Now, all that said, hopefully, it won't take persecution to send us out. That's my hope. And I don't think it does. Because I really think that God has sent us all out somewhere already. We've already been sent people. A couple weeks ago, downtown congregation talked about being sent, right? And you know, just talking about, we're already sent people. The question is sometimes, where are we sent? Because God is a sending God who's already sent us somewhere. We just need to identify those places and live as sent people. God's already sent us somewhere. We just need to identify where and live as sent people in those places. So where has God sent us? We, together, NLCF. Where has God sent us? We're sent all over, really. Blacksburg, Virginia Tech, Christiansburg, Radford. Some of you guys work out in Roanoke or in other places, Pulaski, Dublin, Giles, all those places. And we're being sent out daily to those places. And then even in a bigger scale, God has been sending out NLCFers over the years overseas to different missionary fields, to different places, to different spaces, to engineering firms, to classrooms, to wherever. We are being sent people, every day on a micro level, and then all throughout our life on a macro level. So where are we sent? We're going to start really broad as to where we as NLCF are sent, and then we're going to get a lot closer to our home. So where are we sent? The first place is really anywhere we go, we are sent, right? I mean, you know, if we think about it that way, we're not walking around on accident, right? Wherever we go as sent people. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. Always be prepared. There we go. Okay. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. Right? Always, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. But do what? Do this with gentleness and do this with respect. So we, as NLCF, as a body, we are sent out all over the world, which is pretty awesome stuff. And everywhere we go, we are sent people. Where else are we sent? Let's bring it in a little bit. We're sent in and through ministries within NLCF. You know, you heard the example of Kiev. You know, some of us help with the Pregnancy Resource Center. There are some people that help with that. We help financially with that as well. There's the Honduras, you know, group. There's the Mississippi group. There's a group that goes and ministers in Roanoke. There are also little pockets of you that do things all over together. There's people that go on Appalachian Service Project trips, and there's people that go to this thing. And as we come together, we go out together. We are sent people to these places, like the Ukraine. We are sent people together as NLCF. Where else are we sent to? Let's bring it in just a little bit more. We're sent to the people in our home groups. We're sent to the people in our engage groups. You know, if I'm in an engage group, let's say Nate and I are in an engage group or a home group together, and he has a friend that he's been really developing this relationship with. Well, as a member of, in his engage group, well, now I'm sent to his friend as well. Because we are community, we're a body together. So if he brings his friend to go gaming some night in the gamer group, and I'm there, well, now I'm sent to his friend as well. And I'm going to help welcome his friend. And I'm going to help hopefully be an example as to who Christ is in my life, in the life of our community as an engaged group or home group, and in his life as well. Helping to kind of introduce him and welcome him into the kingdom. These are just a few of the missional spaces that we're connected to. Let's bring it in a little closer. Our work or our school, and this could be elementary school, this could be middle school, high school, this could be college, this could be graduate school, doctoral school, medical school, wherever we go, there's pockets of people that we are sent to, right? It could be moms. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, you're meeting other moms at the playground and other places. And I'm having a little more of a flexible job. Often Sarah's going out and ministering, and I'm the one meeting the moms at the playground. So there's my little missional space here with the moms. Hey, how's it going? Hey. As Robbie said, he's a, you know, staff wife. You know, I get that. Here I am, Mr. Mom, a lot of times. In fact, I'm Mr. Mom until Thursday. So if anybody wants to help with babysitting over the next 5 days, just let me know. Sarah's off in Orlando this week, so I'll be Mr. Mom a lot. Soccer teams, basketball teams. Those are missional spaces that we're sent out to, places that God has us going, right? Let's bring it in a little bit more. Our dorms, our communities, our neighborhoods, the people around us, the people that we live in and around. For some of you, your home is a missional space, right? And it should be no matter what. Even if our family are believers, you know, it should be a place of mutual encouragement where we're encouraging each other. But for some of us, that's a place where we're trying to show mom or dad who may not be a follower of Christ, like, you know, Christ has done something in my life. Maybe we're serving, right? Maybe we're going and doing the dishes. And mom's like, you've never done the dishes before here at home. You know, what's causing that? And you're starting to serve. Maybe it's with our kids. I remember the moment when I got this call at Starbucks, and Sarah's like, I just talked to Benjamin again about what a relationship with Christ is like. And he just laid back in the bed and looked up, and he said, God, I want you to come into my heart, and I love you. And he blew God a kiss. That's a missional, and that is a great, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just bringing me to tears. Sorry. Mr. Mom up here is come and pull it together, Mike. We are sent all over, right? We are sent people. We've been talking about that, but it's good to intentionalize and think about where we're sent to, right? Go on in, guys. For those of you who are just walking in, sorry if you missed the memo that we were starting at 10 o'clock today. As our congregations came together, we tried to get the word out as meaningfully as we possibly could and as many resources as we could, and we always know that we're never going to do it perfectly, so I apologize. But it's going to be a little bit longer of a service than normal, so, hey, welcome. Sit back. It's going to be good. It actually won't go that much longer. But and we're back. Okay. All right. So it's good to intentionalize where we're being sent to and to think of ourselves as sent people in those places. Because if not, it can just be kind of like going through life, right? You know, anywhere we're, let's go back to that other slide real quick, sorry. Anywhere we go, we're in Walmart, we see the cashier is having a really rough day, and you know, he or she is verbalizing that or like showing that. You know, hey, what Colin said, you know, of course, if there's like thousands of people online, you don't want to be like, hey, can I stop and pray for you? Because the people behind you might get a little annoyed with that. But, you know, hey, you know, how you doing today? You know, when I leave, feel like God told me I should pray for you. And so I'm going to do that when I leave, and I just hope your day gets a little better, you know? Anyone we meet, anywhere we are, we're sent people. Our ministry is within NLCF, right? We go out together, we go somewhere, we do something, we serve somewhere. Our people connected to our home groups and engaged groups, we're in mission together, we're caring for people. We're going out, we're thinking intentionally. This is a missional space, right? This is the place where I'm sent to. Our work, our school, other moms, soccer teams. You may find in those places, you might not have the comfort of having 12 NLCFers around you. But at your work, you find two or three other Christians that can start gathering together and praying. You know, on your hall, you may have a couple NLCFers that start praying for your hall. And maybe a couple of IVers or crewers, you know, and you're praying for your hall too, you know. We're working together. This isn't just necessarily about NLCF. This is about the kingdom of God. Our homes, our dorms, our communities, our neighborhoods. We find other people who might be followers of Jesus, and we work together. And if we think, if we really all truly thought intentionally that these spaces where I go to on an everyday basis are places that I'm sent to, are places that God intentionally wants me to be in and to reach out and to love and to care and to serve those communities and to live for the good of those people and to care for them, I think we'd start to see that God does some amazing things in our hearts and in the spaces all around us. Because God is ascending God. He's already sent us somewhere, right? We have to identify those places and live like we're sent in them. I think it's so cool that every Sunday and every time that we have a small group or anything like that, we come together, right? We come in together. And today is a special day for that because we're coming in as all three of our congregations, coming in together, being a part of community together. And then what do? We all go out together. We go different places, and we do different things, and we meet different people. But as we have all these different spaces that we're touching here at Virginia Tech, in Blacksburg, in the New River Valley, Christiansburg, Radford, right, Roanoke, all these places. And then as we go out globally on a more macro level, and Honduras and Ukraine and Mississippi and all those places, we start to really, really open up and see, wow, we are touching so many places and we are engaging so many places and we are living out in so many places as the people of God of LCF. Because God's a sending God who's already sent us somewhere. We just need to identify those places and live like sent people in them. Let's pray. God, thank you for all the places we have an opportunity to minister in, all the areas where we have a chance to be your people in and amongst the world. Help us to identify where are those places in my life. And then to live in the knowledge that you have sent us those places and that we're to be a blessing to those people. We're to serve and to love and to care and bring people to a knowledge of who you are. Help us to be those people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Carl, and I could probably say I'm a freshman here at Tech, but you probably wouldn't believe me. I have a question for you this morning. Actually, my daughter was a graduate of Tech. She is currently on staff, Jeanette Statz, and has been on staff for about 10 years now, following her graduation from Tech. And many of you, I'm sure, know her, and especially those that have children. She's watching them right now. And so, anyway, I have a question for you this morning. What do you do with an old, empty shoebox? You realize there's actually three things that you can do with it? The first thing is you just simply throw it in the trash. That's the easy thing to do with it. Just get rid of it. Just throw it in the trash. If you're like my house, I've got plenty that are stored up that are empty in the attic, you know, just for that moment when you might need a shoebox. The other thing that you can do with it is you can recycle it. Good cardboard. Recycling is the in thing to do nowadays. So, you know, recycle it. You know, next time waste management comes by, just put them out in the recycle bin. The third thing, however, you can do with them is to take it and open it up and begin to place in it things that a child either needs or would like to have, such as the bare essentials, toothpaste, toothbrushes, soap, washcloths, things that we take for granted each and every day that we live, candy, toys, books, crayons, coloring books, clothing, shoes. Back in 1993, an organization by the name of Samaritan's Purse is really kind of a global ministry outreach. Began a program called Operation Christmas Child. Since 1993, 77 million shoeboxes have been distributed to over 149 countries. The children that have faced disasters, such as in Haiti, civil unrest, such as in many of the European nations, places where the children just don't have anything. Mostly, they don't have any expression whatsoever that there is someone who loves them. These little shoeboxes take to them that little bit of love. Over 8 million of these shoeboxes were collected just last year and have begun their pathway to the children all over the world that need to know that there is someone out there that loves them. Of those 8 million, nearly 6 million of those came from here in the United States. To bring it a little bit closer to home, the Roanoke New River Valley area, which is the area that we are specifically in, had 19,000 boxes, which is a great thing for us. It was a 9% increase over that amount collected in 2009. We've set a new goal for next year to go 10% even higher than that, and I'm sure that we'll be able to meet it. NLCF, back when you were just a campus ministry, before we got into the community side, really began working with it about 12 years ago. And so over the years, NLCF has had a great part. In fact, how many here have ever packed a shoebox and submitted? Great. Look at those hands going up. Great. Thank you so much on behalf of Operation Christmas Child for doing that, no matter what it was this year or before. This year, NLCF itself, between the campus and the community, collected 250 boxes that we were then able to take to the distribution center and then ultimately on to Charlotte, which is one of the area where the regional collection center where they're boxed up. My wife and I had the opportunity to work down there for a couple of days this past winter. What a great experience that is. And anyone can work down there. If you've never been down there, we encourage you to do that sometime at your leisure. Last year, and this is the main thing, last year alone, 840,000 children asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. You see, that's really what it's all about. It's reaching out to children who otherwise would not, first off, not know that there's any love out there, but secondly, would not know that there is a Savior for them. Jesus said, encourage the little children to come to me, and don't hold them back, but let them come, that they may know me, and that they may love me as I, in turn, love them. You know, over the next several months, there's going to be opportunities for, whether you're a student or a campus side, or I mean a community side, whichever, there's going to be opportunities, volunteer opportunities. If you're interested, you can either see me after the service, or I don't think Jim would mind, just write OCC on your blue cards as you go out today, and I'll get back in contact with you about the opportunities that we have coming up. Let me leave you with one final question today, and that is, what will prevent a child in need of knowing that they are loved and that they have a Savior in Jesus from being able to get one of these boxes? And the answer to that is very simply an empty box.
This is just a prayer that was written a few hundred years ago, but it's pretty good. For the mission of the church, so pray with me. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son Jesus to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace.